This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Praise God. Well, we are in a series on callings. Amen. And I'm on my third Sunday on calling. And you guys realize that you are called. Amen. Now look at your neighbor and say, you're called. Amen. Don't do it with a question mark. You're called. amen. And so, you know, the first session that I talked about calling is a lot of times we don't really feel like that we're qualified. And we think that God calls the qualified, but he qualifies the call.
That's right.
Amen. And so a lot of times when we start out in anything, we don't really qualify. Amen. Has anybody ever started out in a new career and you just didn't know too much about it? You made a lot of mistakes in the very beginning. You weren't too qualified. But the longer you stay in something, the more qualified you become. Amen. So I talked about in the first session that if you just show up, if you're a Christian, needs to be in church.
Amen.
And so a church is the foundation of the truth, the Bible says. And the church is raised up, and God's not getting rid of church.
Amen.
You know, I was witnessing to one person, and he says, and that person didn't believe in church. They were an unbeliever. And they just said, you know, they loved the message, but they didn't like the way God moves the message to the people through the church. And but, you know, it's the church. Amen. Jesus died for the church and you are so valuable to God, and the church is valuable. And as believers, you're just not saved unto yourself. A lot of times we think, oh, I'm saved. Yeah, you are saved, but you are in a body of believers. And you got to remember that. So I love the Lord's Prayer. Because when Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he said, our Father. He didn't say, my Father.
Amen.
I love that. So he put it in a group text, in a way that we're all included.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to say this. None of us run our race by ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. So we're not running this race just on our own. We need each other.
Amen.
I need you. You need me. We need one another.
Amen.
To strengthen one another. And the Bible talks about that as Christians. And there's so many Christians out here. I want to welcome those that are watching online. And welcome online. But we want you to come on out here.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God that you're joining us online. We're so glad that we can get it to you. But I'm telling you, it's a little different when you're in the service. It's a little different playing the game than being a spectator. And so when you're coming to church, you're like, you're playing the game. And it's more than just a game. It's life. Amen. And so today I want to talk to you and focus on called to represent. We're called to represent. How many people know that? We are called to represent. Let's look at Romans 11:29. This is our main text that we're going with the series. It says here, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And I'm reading it out of the Amplified. For he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So all of you are called. And there is a judgment seat of Christ. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account what we have done in this body.
Yes.
Amen. And I want to make sure that I hear, well done,
yes,
thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, well, you know, and you could have done this, and you could have done this, and I had all this for you, but you, well, You didn't do those things. And so hopefully we're moving into that place where we're walking out the giftings and callings that God has placed on our lives. And You know, I said this in the series that there's a lot of gifts that are unwrapped. That are wrapped, and we need our gifts unwrapped. And what I'm saying, what I mean by that is that there's things in you you're not even aware of until you start moving out. You're not even aware of the gift that God has given you.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so we have to start stepping out and you know, one step at a time. It's just one, you know, it's a walk of faith. It's not a stride of faith. And so we just take one step, get in church, get involved in church. The Bible says that those that are planted in the house of the Lord will at old age, they will bear good fruit. And so we need to be planted in the house of the Lord. So we are called, and that's one of our callings, is to be in a church. Amen. And so in Ephesians 4, 1 and 4, Paul is saying this: therefore, I, the prisoner, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And I love this too, because Paul, he's saying he's the prisoner of the Lord. And thus, I ministered last week that we are called to walk in honor. We are called to be people of integrity.
Amen.
We are people, and that speaks loud. I didn't hit on all this stuff last week, but we're called to pay our bills.
Amen.
Amen. We're called to meet our obligations.
Amen.
We're called to be upright and forthright. Amen. To not dodge, you know, creditors. No, if you can't pay them, call them.
Amen.
Amen. And we're called to pay our debts. We're called to be honorable people. We're called to pay taxes.
Amen.
I know you don't want to hear that. Amen. And but yeah, we're called to do that. And we're called to be honorable people. And I think a lot of times the Bible says this, that as Christians, we should not only strive to have a good name among each one of us, you know, to be good among each other, but we're supposed to have a good name before the world.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying today? We're supposed to, in other words, we should be the best workers at our job.
Amen.
We serve God as we would we serve our boss as we would serve the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible says. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So everything that we do, we, in a sense, we're serving God.
Amen.
Amen. And so we want to make sure that we're not slackers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we have to continue to press in and do that. And let's look at this in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 20. I want to read this. Because to be a great witness, you have to have a revelation that you're called to be a witness or to represent.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we think, well, you know, Billy Graham and these evangelists on TV and the pastors, they're the ones that are called to do the work of the ministry. They're the ones that are called to get the people in. But the Bible says actually it's the flock that are called to do the work of the ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm really like a coach, but you're supposed to be playing the game. Amen. So I'm here to bring some encouraging words to get you to a place of faith where you're going out doing the impossible. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So I'm here just to move you into that direction. Amen. So it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 20. It says there, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Notice that. You can underline that. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, we're pleading through us, We need to implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I love that. And so we see this, that so he says that we're called to reconcile the world to Christ. We're called to be an ambassador for Christ. So you're called to represent.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so we are called to represent. And I think, I was thinking about this morning. A lot of times we don't represent. And I think the number one reason why we don't think about it. We don't think it's our job. That's Billy Graham's job. That's Pastor David's job. But that's not my job. My job is my vocation, what I do. That's my job. I take care of my family, and so I bring in the finances, and I take care of my family, because if I don't take care of my family, I'm worse than an unbeliever, the Bible says. And that's good. You're supposed to be doing your vocation. But within your vocation, you still can be promoting Christ. You can be the light where you're at. You can represent wherever you're at. You can represent the love of Christ. So how do we walk in love in a loveless world? You know, one of the things that keeps people from being a great witness for the Lord is that we become loveless. In other words, we start losing our love. In other words, one of the main things that causes us to lose our love is offense. Am I talking to anybody today? And offense is something that comes up almost like if you're an immature believer, you can be offended like every day. There's somebody that's going to offend you. There's somebody who's going to say something wrong to you. There's somebody that's going to do something that's going to irritate you. And we get offended. I just the other day. I mean, I have to work on it myself. You know, pastor has to work on it. And again, the other day, somebody had their high beams on right behind me, running there. I'm at a traffic light. I'm stopped. It's at night, and their high beams are in. And you know how it hits your mirror and it's flicking back in your eyes. And you're like, what's wrong with these people? Do you know what I'm saying? I was praying, but I was asking the Lord, what's wrong with these people? And he said, well, you make mistakes too. I said, oh, I do. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you make mistakes too. I said, these people do dumb things, Lord. And he said, you do dumb things too. I said, okay. All right, Lord. I'm not talking about me. I'm not on trial here. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But a lot of times we start thinking, these people just do dumb things, you know. But we don't see the dumb things that we do. And I said, oh yeah, maybe I do some dumb things too. And so we gotta get a revelation that people, you can't live without them and you can't live with them. No, no, that's not right. But people, we're gonna be, as long as you're in this world, you're gonna be involved in relationships. Unless you're going to be by yourself on some island or somewhere. Amen. But you're going to be in a, you know, the Bible never called us to be separated. No, remember when I preached my first sermon that as people of honor and integrity, integrity means integral, which means that we're part of a whole. Amen. So we're not just individuals. So everything that we do connects with each other in the body. And that's the reason why, you know, if you sin, you can say, well, that's my sin. No, it affects the body. Amen. So everything that we do affects each other.
That's right.
Amen. And it will affect the unbeliever.
Yes.
Amen. So if we're in offense and your love walk gets shut down, and offense will cause us not to trust people, and then we don't want to give out. And then we just want to live in a bubble and just protect us and our family, and nobody else going to get into our bubble. I'm not talking to anybody today. And so what we do is we be very careful not to extend love to others, because they could hurt us or they could reject us. Or if we witness to somebody, I don't know, they might persecute me. They may not agree with Jesus. They may say something negative. So love is the key for us to being a great witness, because love casts out all fear, because fear will keep us from witnessing, fear of man.
Yes.
right? And offense, getting an attitude, and if you got a chip on your shoulder as a Christian, nobody wants to be around you. Is that right? And so if you're walking around waiting for a fight, are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes we can get that way because we've been hurt and we're just ready for somebody to say something and boom. Is this helping anybody? Because offense will turn in, unforgiveness. And when unforgiveness kicks in, it will turn into bitterness. And then when bitterness kicks in, it defiles everybody. We become bitter. Amen? And it's easy to get bitter when things aren't working, when people are doing things wrong, when you're encountering a trial or a tribulation, and you get to a point where I've had enough. Have you ever been there? I've just had enough. And then you just close up. Amen? We got to get a revelation that, do you think Jesus had enough? Do you think when Jesus was walking with his disciples and he was teaching them to love and he was washing the disciples' feet and he was telling them that, you do likewise, and he was doing all these good things, and then the disciples would be arguing who's the greatest in the team, and Jesus said, what you guys talking about? And they said, well, we want to know who's the greatest, And then, of course, Jesus said, well, the greatest, it's not as the world. The world says the greatest is the person that tells that has the power to tell people what to do. But the greatest really in the kingdom, where we have to understand that the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom in a sense. What the world says is good, God says is bad. And what God says is bad, the world says is good. And so in the kingdom, it's an upside down kingdom. So if you're gonna receive, you're gonna have to give.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So we have to operate in this kingdom, and it's different. It's diametrically opposed to a natural kingdom that we live down here. And the world says get all that you can, and then sit on your can, Get all that you can and sit on your can. Right? I was ministering to this one guy, and I was saying, we talk about investments and at the gym, because I'm at the gym a lot. And so I was talking about investments. I was talking about, the reason why I want to prosper is because I want to leave an inheritance to my children's children. He's a Jewish guy. And that's out of the book of Proverbs. And he said, not me. I'm going to spend all on myself. And that's the way the world is.
Amen.
I'm going to spend it all on myself. They're going to get nothing. They got to make their own way in this world. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man. And only God can weed that out of us.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, we all have to fight this selfishness.
Amen.
We all got to fight it because it will grow. It will grow. If we're not careful, it's about me, myself, and I, the false trinity. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says in the last days, people will be lovers of God. No, they'd be lovers of themselves. In other words, they're going to put themselves first. You know what I'm saying? But that we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be putting other people first, and that's hard on the flesh. Man, it's hard sometimes to put other people first. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Because we want to get there. We don't want to wait in line. We want to get there early. We want the best parking spot. I mean, two people. We're trying to get that parking spot, and there's a little old lady, 90-year-old lady that's trying to get it. We get in. God got us a parking spot. Let that 90-year-old lady walk a mile.
Uh-oh.
Do you know what I'm saying? That shouldn't be our attitude.
Amen.
You know, I'm possessing the land. Sometimes we can have this attitude. I'm possessing the land. Doesn't matter whatever. No, sometimes you might need to, offer a cup of cold water to somebody. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Now, I know that I'm not talking to this group. You guys are so sweet. You guys would never do anything like that. I'm talking to the people that it might be, the one that you're going to give a CD to, or the one that you're going to tell them to watch this message because they need it. Amen. And so let's look at this, because in Matthew 24, 10 and 14, it says here, and Jesus is talking about the last days. How many people will agree that we're in the last days?
Amen.
I'm telling you, we are in the last days. Yes. And so here, Jesus is talking about the last days, and he says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he endures to the end shall be saved. So we see here, Jesus saying that in the last days, many will be offended. And some will say, well, that's all the unbelievers, right, Pastor? He's talking about, no, not necessarily. Believers can be offended in the end days too.
Amen.
He's not necessarily, oh, that's just all the people that don't know Jesus. Now, those are, no, there's lots of believers that are offended.
Amen.
There's lots of believers that aren't in church because some pastor offended them.
Amen.
Or some church member offended them. They're not in church any longer. They say, I'm not going back to a church like that. Amen. And so they're out of church. They're orphans in the body of Christ. And so you got to get over it.
Amen.
We got to get over some of these hurts, some of these pains, because it's keeping us from being the best that we can be.
Amen.
We just got to get over it. And it's not easy, because I'm telling you, you need to one of the key things you need to do when somebody hurts you, you know, the first thing I would say is you got to pray for them. No, you got to pray for yourself. That's one of the first things. God, please help me. I need your help to love this person. This person is so, oh my Lord, help me, Jesus. Are you hearing what I say? You need to pray for yourself. If your blood is boiling every time you see them. Do you know what I'm saying? You might need to pray for yourself. Amen. That's because then once you pray for yourself, God, give me some love for this person. Amen. Give me some love. Amen. And so you need to pray for yourself. And then once you get some revelation of God's love for you and what Jesus did, a lot of times God will bring it back to Jesus and Jesus going to the cross and for us. And that famous prayer that Jesus taught us, Father, forgive them as we forgive those that trespass against us. So notice that's forgive us as we forgive those that trespass against us. So when we're praying God to forgive us, it's all connected to us forgiving others.
Amen.
Do you know that's connected? And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, he won't forgive. Pastor, we're in grace. God always forgives. If you're not walking in forgiveness, the torturers are coming. You're going to have a hard time sleeping at night. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? If you're in unforgiveness, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt them.
Amen.
Because they're probably sleeping good at night. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? We got to be very careful that this offense doesn't work. And sometimes, you know, you can walk in offense, and it's what I call it an attitude. You just got an attitude. Have you ever had that attitude? Yeah, I have it this morning, Pastor, with your message. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it's just, and sometimes it feels good sometimes in the flesh just to have an attitude. The flesh likes to display attitudes at times. You're not going to get over on me. You know, the flesh likes to display attitude at times. It's the flesh.
That's right.
It's not the spirit. It's the flesh. The flesh loves to cuss people out. The flesh loves to. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give them peace of my mind. Then you'll lose your mind. Have you ever been there? You keep giving a piece of your mind away, then you're not going to have any mind left. Is that true? So we got to be very careful, amen? So here in this, in Matthew, there's two things that's happening. And some but these are the two things. There's going to be people that are going to be falling away from the faith. There's going to be Christians that in the last days, there's what you call the great falling away. There's going to be people that are going to be falling away from the faith. They're going to be offended. They're going to be, you know, offended with people or even offended with God. Because when you've been praying and your circumstances hasn't changed and things seem to get worse, anybody's been mad at God in the house today. Have anybody ever been angry with God? I don't have any honest people today. Maybe angry with the situation. You know God's not in it, but you're kind of, God, why haven't you done anything yet? I mean, are you hearing what I'm saying? Why isn't things changing? Has anybody been like that? In a sense, you're not really saying, oh, I'm not mad at God. I'm just mad at the situation, Pastor. I'm just kind of angry with that. But you know, you're angry because you haven't seen anything change yet. Right? Well, maybe God's trying to get you to change first. Before things change, your perspective needs to change. I like what Joyce Myers was talking about. She was saying that if you ever want to pray to change somebody else, first ask God if there's anything that you need to change first, if that's a relationship that you're in. Is there something about me that I need to change, Lord? Because a lot of times we want to tell God all the problems of the other person. God, you know. But is there any, maybe there's something in you that needs to be changed. Are you, sometimes we need to look at the man in the mirror.
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God. And so there's going to be people that are going to be falling away from the faith. They're going to be discouraged. They're going to be distracted. They're going to be divided. And so there's going to be, and then number two, there's in the end days, there's going to be a great harvest coming in. And I believe the great harvest that's coming in, it's going to be some of your family members that are backslidden.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Because you're praying for them. Yes. You're doing everything you can to get them back into the kingdom. You're fasting and praying. And you're witnessing to your backslidden relatives.
Amen.
What, Pastor, do I have to witness to them? I'm calling God to have somebody else witness to them. You might need to say something to them. You might need to say, hey, listen, you're not on the right track.
Amen.
You know that you're not going to see the blessing of God in your life going that way. You know, but you want somebody else to tell. Maybe you might need to tell them that.
Right.
You know, in love.
Amen.
Whenever we bring correction to anybody, you always bring it in love.
Yes. Right.
Amen. You want to be motivated by a heart of love, not an accusation of accusing.
Amen.
You know, no, love. Lest we fall in the same problem.
Right.
Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Or have you gone home? So God is preparing our church. He's preparing the church body. He's preparing us for the harvest.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And right now, like I said, you know, there's going to be many people going to be coming through these doors. Right now, we like it right now. We have our own seats. We have our own parking spot. This is nice. Amen. But you know what? God wants more people in. He wants more people coming in. More people, more problems. Because you got people with different personalities. You got people that are different levels of their faith walk. You got people that aren't as mature as other believers. And that's when the Bible says we got to bear with one another. What does that mean to bear with one another? Grin and bear it. That's what it means. Grin and bear. We got to bear with one another because people have weaknesses. And we have weaknesses. Amen. I like what it says here in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. It says here, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. So Jesus is saying here, and he's saying that, and this is really interesting. These people weren't even born again yet. You know, these people following Jesus, you know, people didn't get born again until Jesus presented his blood, right? And then breathed on the disciples. But he was already calling it forth. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And then it says here, let your light shine before men that they may, so that men, that people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what is God calling us to? He's calling us to good works. And you say, well, no, that's not the gospel of grace. We don't have to do anything in the gospel of grace. Isn't that right, Pastor? Just let God give it all to us. No, no, there's something we got to do. The grace empowers us to do good.
Amen.
God's grace empowers us to do good works.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. And so Jesus is saying in Matthew, he's saying that we don't want to hide our light, but we want to display it to the world. And one of the ways we do that is, again, by getting out of offense. By getting rid of all that stuff and giving people second chances.
Amen.
Giving people third chances. Now, you know, you may not, like I said this before, you let somebody borrow money and they never return it. You may not want to let them borrow money again, but you still can walk in love towards them.
That's right.
The Bible says if you give somebody money anyway, just consider it a gift. Because 9 times out of 10, they may not pay it back. People tend to forget. When people forget, if people owe me money, I don't remind them. I just say, Lord, you know, I'm just not going to press it. Why? Because I think the relationship is more valuable than the money.
That's right. Amen.
I believe a relationship is more valuable than money. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? It's more valuable. Relationships are more valuable than money. Money is just money. God can get you money.
Yes, you can.
Amen. And so we just let that go. Amen.
Amen.
And because God can repay you back.
Yes, he can.
You believe that today?
Yes.
So don't let money destroy relationship.
Amen.
So we have to look at that. Look at Mark 16, 15 and 20. It says here, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the good news or the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly, drink anything deadly, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so we see that this is the Great Commission. So we are called to engage in people's lives. And I'm going to say this to you. You have the answer.
Amen.
You have the answer for the world's problems today.
Yes.
You have the answer for sickness. You have the answer for poverty.
Yes.
You have the answer for broken relationships.
Yes.
You have the answer. And that's in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
See, what the world needs is Jesus.
Amen.
And we have the ability to get Jesus to people.
Amen.
But we can't get Jesus to people if we got a chip on our shoulder.
Right.
We can't get Jesus to people if we're afraid of what people are going to think of us.
Right.
We can't get Jesus to people. We got to step out.
Yes.
And just, you know, just pass out a card. You know, invite somebody to church. You know, one of my favorite ways of witnessing people is, do you go to church around here? No. Why not? Why not? Oh, because nobody's never invited me. Well, you're invited today. Come on to Exceed Life Church. The pastor won't beat you up so much, man. The pastor's really a pretty nice guy at times. The congregation are nice people. Why don't you come out to church? You'd be surprised how many people aren't never invited to church. I ask that a lot of times. Do you go to church? No. Why don't you come out to church? Oh, nobody. And I've had people say, nobody's invited me to church. You can come out. And they say, oh, I'll be out. You will? Yeah. Here's it. Do you want to pick up? No, I'll be there. They never show up. And I hear people go, "Pastor, I got my neighbors coming to church, and I got a special seat for them." And the seat's still empty. I said, "What happened?" "I don't know. They said they were going to come." Do you know the world are a bunch of liars in the world? You know, that's what the world does. They lie. That, you know, they're part of their father, the devil. He's the father of lies. See, the world doesn't want them to know that they're under the devil's domain. They're under darkness. We're under light. And that's why we want to be compelled to reach people, because heaven and hell are realities. There's a reality of heaven and there's a reality of hell. They are real places. And so if when we have so much love for God, and that love should permeate to people, and when we start loving people, we don't want people to lose their lives and go to hell. Amen. We want people to go to heaven. So when we get a revelation of how good God is, that God allowed us to escape hell and get heaven, we should want to help people get into heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We should have a desire. See, I think some of us, you know, I pray, I'm like, "Lord, I want to see heaven." Anybody ever pray, "God, please just take me, I want a tour of heaven"? Anybody ever anybody like to have a tour of heaven in here? None of you. I can wait, Pastor. Like one pastor was saying, how many people would like to go to heaven? And nobody raised their hand because they thought that the pastor was asking them if they wanted to go right now, you know. No, I got to live my life, Pastor. I don't, you know. Are you now? Some of us are ready to go. How many people are ready for heaven? Glory to God. Woo, I got some fired up people in here. Because, you know, heaven is so much greater. You know why you're ready for heaven? Because all the stuff down here. Yes. Some of you are dealing with some stuff down here. Like, rapture now. Rapture me now. You get that bill in the mail. Rapture me now. You know, sometimes there's waves, and you will have popular preachers that will start preaching, "Jesus is coming back next week," or 88 reasons why Jesus will come back in 1988. And they write books, you know, why Jesus is coming. And people say, "Jesus is really coming." They buy into it. Jesus is really coming. They don't read their Bible, that no man knows the hour. But they don't read. They go with a popular person. And then what they do is they go spend all their money on credit cards. "Let's go to the cruise." And then they're all maxed out and Jesus doesn't come back. Rapture me. Now they spend the rest of their life getting out of debt. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? No, you laugh about it. But there's people out there like that. Not this group, though. You're not like that. So we're called to set the captives free. You know, Jesus, everywhere he went, I really believe this, he preached his first sermon, and that's in the book of Luke. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring healing and recovery to sight, recite to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to bring the acceptable year of the Lord." And he was quoting a scripture in the Old Testament. When he was reading the scripture out of Isaiah, and he was quoting the scripture, but he didn't quote the rest of it to bring the vengeance of our God. He didn't preach that. So really, we're supposed to be preaching the love of God, not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is coming. They need to know that and be led by the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you might need to mention hell and judgment day. Don't get me wrong. But really, our message is a message of hope. So it's a message that you can come out of the world. You can come out of your sin. You can come out of these things. You can be blessed. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So it's a message of goodwill. The Lord gave me this revelation when the Christmas story and the angels are flying around, and they said, and they were so excited about Jesus being born in the manger, and they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Do you remember that? And do you know what? That's what we're supposed to be promoting: peace on earth and goodwill toward. In other words, we're supposed to be promoting goodwill. Somebody say, I'm a goodwill ambassador. Amen. So we're supposed to be promoting goodwill. And when we how do we do that? Well, we do that by praying for people. We do that by doing good things for people. Being benevolent. We do that by giving good tips, you know, only if the waiter gives us good service. Amen. My dad. Of course, my dad wasn't always saved, and he was a straight shooter. I mean, my dad was an amazing guy, and really, and when he got saved, he was a giver. My dad was a giver. He would give, and he would give money, and people were in need, and you would even, he just was a giver, and but he came, he came out of a world of, a me, myself, and I world, right? And I remember him telling me a story. He said, if the waitress didn't fill my coffee cup, if she didn't work with me, I would leave a tip and it would be a penny standing straight up on the table. And the penny standing straight up on the table was to get the waiter or the waitress to think about it. It wasn't that he forgot the tip. He just wanted them to think about the crummy service that they did. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Yeah, that's right. Yes, amen. Taylor says, Taylor is, and I've never done, normally, listen, when you pray for your food before you receive your food at the restaurant, always pray for the cooks. Amen. Always pray for the cooks, amen, that they don't drop your steak on the ground. Always pray for the cooks that they cook the food right. Amen. I always pray for the cooks. Amen. And I pray for my waitress. And I pray that everything works out. I never send food back. Because I worked at a restaurant. Oh, it's a little undercooked. You don't want the cook offended. You don't want the guy cooking your food offended with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's just a side tip. I won't charge you for that one. Amen. And so look at Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Jesus. So we see here that Jesus was in the business of setting people free, healing people. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so God is not putting sickness on people. God is healing people.
Amen.
And so what God wants to do is he wants to use us to pray for the sick so they can recover.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying today?
Yes.
And I'm going to say, can I get out of my seat today?
Yes.
Can I get out of my seat?
Yes.
God, oh, okay. And I'm going to say this, that a lot of times, and sometimes I have seasons of boldness and I'm praying for everything. I'm praying for the trees. I'm praying for the rock. I lay my hands on my car. You know what I'm saying? I'm praying. And then I have seasons of timidity and I don't know. I don't know if I want to pray for this person. And I go through seasons. Sometimes I'm bold as a lion, and sometimes I'm scared as a cat. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not really scared, but I'm just thinking, nah, I don't want to go that far. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Have you ever been there? Somebody says, oh, yeah. And I have people complain about their hurts. And sometimes I just don't pray for them. I just don't want to go there. Why don't we want to go there? Because we don't know, we hope that God will heal them instantaneously, but when we don't see that healing, we think, well, God doesn't work. Sometimes we're afraid to pray because maybe God is not going to heal them. What if God heals them? What if he does work? What if the prayer does work? A lot of people say, well, sometimes we judge whether God will heal or not on whether when we prayed the last time and we didn't see a physical manifestation that very second, we start judging, well, maybe God heals sometimes and God heals and God doesn't heal other times. But you're judging on circumstances, but you need to judge on Jesus. And every place, every time that Jesus prayed for somebody, everybody got healed. So you can't put your experience out there because you prayed for somebody and they didn't instantly get healed that very second. Doesn't mean that God wasn't in a process of healing them. And sometimes you might need to have faith in seed sowed.
Amen.
I call it seed sowed faith.
That's right.
And a lot of times we're doing a lot of sowing, but we're not seeing a lot of harvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And you got to have, it's also called seed faith. Not seat faith, but seed faith. Amen. Some of you, when this church gets so crowded and so busy, you're going to have seat faith to get a seat. But seed faith is you got to believe that when you sow a seed, that God is going to cause it to grow. You got to have confidence that when you sow a seed, that it's going to come back.
Amen.
That the blessing will come back. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? That you have to have faith in the seed. Have faith in your prayers. Because sometimes we're not seeing it. Well, God, are you hearing me? I'm not seeing things change in my family. I'm not seeing things change with this person. Have faith.
Yes.
Believe God. Believe, like I always say, believe in the process. It's working.
Thank you, Lord.
See, what the enemy, we get offended when we don't see things working. And I got to go back on this offense thing. The Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing.
Amen.
For at the appointed time, you shall reap if you faint not. If you don't give up, if you don't relax your hold, if you keep standing strong, you will reap. And just because you pray for somebody and you don't see an instantaneous healing doesn't mean that the process of healing hasn't started.
Amen.
Just because you witnessed to somebody and you sowed some seed and they just pretty much told you that, you know, you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, the church is a hypocrite, doesn't mean that the seed is not working.
Amen.
Remember I told you I witnessed to my neighbor? He said, pastors are out, basically all out for the money, and the church is full of hypocrites. I got mad. I said, my people aren't hypocrites. My people are God-fearing, God-loving people. They're walking with God. Don't be calling my congregation hypocrites. I was standing up for you guys. Oh, that was up. Now I didn't say it like that. I say, man, you know, you got it all wrong, man. You know, and I'm not a phony pastor.
Amen.
Glory to God. I walk the walk. Sometimes I stumble every once in a while, but I'm going to get back up. Sometimes I'll confess my faults to you. Amen. But I'm going to try to get better. Anybody out here trying to get better? I lost it the other day. The lady that had the light on, I slowed down. She came up, passed me up, went back in front of me. I flicked my lights on. And my wife said, you're a pastor. But it just flicked. I just flicked it. I didn't keep it on. You know, it was a flick. Like, wake up, man. Don't be putting your high beams on. How many high beamers we got out here? No. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I got flesh. Pastor has flesh. How many people have flesh out here?
Amen.
Glory to God. And you know what? You got to learn to control this thing.
Oh, Lord,
or it will start controlling you.
Yep, right.
Yeah, you can be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. You know, Dr. Jekyll was a nice guy. Mr. Hyde was the mean person. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, you know, David, it's like the Incredible Hulk. You know, and anybody ever used to watch that, you know? And he, at the very beginning, Mr. McGee, you wouldn't want to see me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And it shows the incredible half his face is the Hulk and half of it is the good guy. And he's roaring, you know. You wouldn't want to see it. And it shows him as the Green Hulk pushing over cars and stuff like that. Hey, man, no, we don't want to be walking around as the Incredible Hulk. Amen. No, we want to be the nice guy. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? We want to. How do you do that? You got to practice it. Listen, listen. What the world needs is love. More love. That's what the world needs. More love. But how love is not a, well, when I feel like I'm going to love you, when I get the feeling, I'll love you. Love is not a feeling. Hello. Love is a decision. Love is a choice. You got to choose the love. It's not, well, when I feel it, when I get the feeling, Pastor, when I get the feeling, I'll start tithing. When I get the feeling. No, no, no. You tithe because you love. You give because you love. Are you listening to what I say? Not when you get the feeling. Because feelings come and go. Amen. But you have to practice love. We have to start practicing love on purpose. That means that we got to start doing nice things on purpose. You know, I was in the gym working out. And my wife, my kid's hungry. And she wanted me to pick up something for the kid at the grocery store. I was right. You know, I just started my workout. And I said, I got about 30 minutes left. And then and I hear kind of the kid kind of whining back. It was Christopher. And she said, well, I'll wait for you to come back. You know, he's a little hungry. I stopped my workout, went and got what he needed. It was chocolate milk or something. And I took it back and dropped it off and said, now I got to go back to the gym. Good thing the gym's 5 minutes from my house. Amen. And what? Why? Because I didn't want him to suffer. In other words, I put myself on hold. A lot of us don't want to put ourselves on hold. A lot of us, you know, because time is the most precious commodity we have. That's valuable. And I'm going to say this, you need to start learning to give some of your time up. You might need to start learning. You think, well, nobody wants me to be around. Who says so? No, your time is valuable. And you need to incorporate in your days time for inconvenience. You need to incorporate time to talk to people, time to minister to people, time, you know, are you hearing what I'm saying today? To be a witness. You got to incorporate this time. You got to set it up. You got to set up. You know, Jesus was always being interrupted. I preached this before, but a lot of his miracles was interruptions. People were always interrupting him. You know, he's walking with the disciples and the crowds with him, the band's going on. He's and then all of a sudden there's this guy yelling at him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he's, you know, all doing, you know, and then some of his disciples say, hey, Thomas, go over there, tell that guy to shut up. We're having a good time over here. We don't need that guy raining on our parade. You know, and so Thomas went over there. Hey, shut up, man. The master don't want to have anything to do with you. Look at you, man. You're nothing but a poor beggar. You know, they basically said that to the guy. You know, the Bible says if you look down on the poor, then God despises you. Oh, my God. Did I just say something today? If you look down on the poor, then God will look down on you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Oh, the poor. You know. Yeah. And finally Jesus said, hey, come over here. The master wants to see you now. You're part of, you know, and the master probably was going, they're probably going to do something. And then Jesus said, what do you want? And he said, I want to see you. Of course, and he was interrupted. I'm telling you, miracles can happen in interruptions. Miracles can happen when you least expect it. Miracles can happen, and we are always walking by miracles every day of our lives. I call them opportunities. And there's always opportunities out there for us to pray for somebody, for us to give somebody a word, for us to give out a card. Amen. A church card and invite somebody to church. I'm telling you, the Bible says that how will people come if there's not a preacher? Amen. And you say, well, that's your job, Pastor. No, it's not my job. That's Billy Graham's job, Pastor. No, it's not just his job. No, that's our job. Amen. We're all called to be ambassadors of goodwill. So we gotta get the fear out. How we do that? We gotta walk in the love of God. We gotta get a revelation of how much God loves us. You know, Jesus said, don't be so excited when he was talking to his disciples, and I'm closing here. Don't be so excited that the devils, heed to your commands. Jesus said that to them because they went out, they were praying for the sick, miracles were happening. They came back. They were excited. Man, devils are listening to us, man. We're walking in the power of God. It's amazing. And then Jesus, don't be so excited about that. But be more excited that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be more excited that you have a relationship with God. Listen, it's more than just the gifts and the power gifts and all these gifts that you have. No, really, the most important thing we possess is our relationship with the Father. And when we get a revelation of how good God is, I'm telling you, and we have a thriving, living relationship. The third key why we don't witness is because of condemnation. Because we're doing things that aren't right. We're walking in a little bit of darkness. We have a little bit of worldliness in us. And we have a little condemnation that we're working on. And so the enemy said, see, look at you. How can you be a witness when you can't even walk straight yourself? And so what are these things? So condemnation will keep us from witnessing to God. Well, I'm not perfect. I don't have everything together. Who has? Who's got it together? None of us have it together. None of us are perfect. All of us have flaws. We're all working it out. Anybody working anything out in here? Glory to God. I'm working some things out. Hopefully you're working some things out. We have not arrived. Amen. And we got to keep pressing in. And so what's the solution to that? Is to repent, turn from those things, so that you can, when you're walking upright, you have confidence. And when you have confidence, you have boldness. And if you have no confidence, you have no boldness. You have no boldness, you won't preach to others about the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you got condemnation working in you, it's going to shut you down. Sin will make cowards of us all. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Amen. You. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so we can't tolerate that. And the Lord was revealing to me is that a person that's vacillating in darkness and light and go back and forth, they become unstable. They're double-minded. And when you're unstable, when you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And we can't be going back and forth. We've got to stay in it. Amen. Stay focused. Stay in the light. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from some, from all unrighteousness. So what's the key? Fellowship. Notice it says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. So if you don't walk in the light, then you may not have that much fellowship. So if you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, what does that mean, walking in the light? Walking in the truth and walking in love. When we walk in the love of God, walk in the light of God, walk in His truth, walk in, know what you know what to do is right, walk in truth, and walk in love. And when you're walking in the light, then you will have fellowship with one another. Then we'll have sweet fellowship with one another. Eternal life is fellowship with the Father. It's more than just heaven and mansions and streets of gold and pearly gates. No, it's a relationship. And that relationship, woo, man, when you have sweet relationship with the Father, and sweet relationship with one another. That's why the Bible talks about that we need to pray that the church gets in unity. Because if the church can get in unity and we can come into agreement, boy, there's nothing we cannot accomplish. I'm telling you, we'll turn this world upside down. We get in agreement about this message that you're all supposed to be ambassadors of goodwill, then I'm telling you, this church will be doubled by next week. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? We just have just enough. No, I'm saying we need to start bringing people in, glory to God. But when you, I'm going to challenge you on your way out, grab some cards, pass them out, glory to God. There's also Goodwill Ambassador cards. And these cards are when you do something nice, it says something nice just to let you know God loves you. And then on the back it says, and Exceed Life Church loves you too. You know, and you're invited to come out, you know. And so just do something nice for somebody. Amen. And when you do these things, you're representing well. Did you receive it today?
Yes.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you are so good to us. I thank you, Father God, oh, that we're coming out of offense and we're coming out of bitterness and we're coming out of fearfulness. Father God, we thank you, Lord God. It's you that gives us the boldness to be able to do what you're calling us to do, to be light in a dark world. And Father, I just thank you for those that are in the audience today. And I thank you, Father God, for those watching online. And maybe you're here and you know it's time for you to go full throttle with God. It's time for you to stop playing church, to start getting serious with God. Maybe you're watching online and Jesus, I say this quite often, is your Savior. You like the saving part of salvation, but then there's another part, and that's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And being and allowing Jesus to be Lord, that means that you're obeying Him. And so this is the key. You need to make Jesus not just Savior, but you need to make Him Lord of your life. He needs to be on the throne of your heart. And so you might need to move off that throne. So if you're ready to move forward, put Jesus as Lord. Just pray this prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, empower me to walk out this Christian life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.